Hi, it's Loretta. Welcome back to An Emo Girl's Guide to the Galaxy. This is a safe space for readers, weebs, emos, and everyone in between. So if you love sarcasm and hate the patriarchy, you've come to the right place.
Yay! Today we have a very special episode. We are talking with Kaylee Smith, who is the author of Aruna's Fate, also Yay! Known as Loretta and Maya's latest obsession. We both read this book. She let me borrow her ARC, and I was like, oh my god, I need to read this. And her pitch was, you are going to love this. There is a boy with a blue hair and piercings. And I was like, I'm here for this. Let's do it.
That was literally, I was like, you need to read this, and this is why, and that was it.
Yes. Also, this book also has found family, queer representation, witches, magic. There's a lot of lore, which I love. I love fantasy books that have really intense, like, background and history. What else does it have? It also has a love triangle, but somehow I loved this. I usually don't, but I feel like it was...
You made Dev love a love triangle,
yes,
which is impossible.
Yes, it was done really well, and I was like, okay, you know when I love the love triangle, that it's perfect. But also, FYI, there is a cliffhanger ending, and it ruined me, so if you want to wait for book two, FYI, you shouldn't wait, because it's amazing, but just so everyone has that PSA. So now, I will hand it over to Kaylee, so she can introduce herself and give a little rundown of her book and all of the things that make it great.
Yeah, thank you so much. Oh my gosh. I'm literally so excited to talk to y'all. I'm Kaylee, for everybody listening. I'm from Louisiana. I write almost exclusively fantasy in the YA and new adult space. And Aruna's Fate is my debut novel, and it's about a witch named Kala who goes into this enchanted, demonic, sentient forest to change her fate alongside her ex-boyfriend and his hot older brother. So, yeah, that's pretty much the gist. I always say, like, when you start it, you're just in for kind of like a chaos adventure. Like, no one in
it's
the...
It's true.
Yeah.
No one in the book has any idea what they're doing, which I love. But, yeah, thank you so much for that introduction.
Yeah, it is very chaotic, but in a good way, now that
in
I
the
think
best
about
way,
it.
Yeah.
They're all like, yeah, let's go into the forest together.
No plan. They're just, like, running around.
Truly. I know. That was, like, so much fun, too, because they really... I was just like, oh, I can do anything, because they have no idea what they're doing, so...
Yeah.
It's fine. We're fine. I'm so excited, too, because this all started with... You held a Twitter contest, and I think the elevator pitch was D&D with witches, if the witches rolled their own dice, and I was like, sign me up, that sounds awesome. And then I won, and I read it, and I was like, Dev, you have to read this book, and I sent it to her.
Oh my gosh, that is so funny, though. I also, like, this is such a nice full circle moment, because I never really talk to people after they win those contests, so, like, I don't know if they like the book or whatnot, so when I heard that it was you, I was like, oh my gosh, stop, this is so much
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, ripple effect.
We were both so obsessed, and then we stalked you on Instagram, and we were like, oh my god, she is so cool. We need to be friends with her.
She went to the Eras tour.
Oh my god, nights one and two, that was something.
So jealous.
Yeah.
I lived through your post.
It's amazing. We did put together some questions for you because we're dying to know all of the things and we are ready for book two. We've been talking about the ending for months now.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
The first thing, obviously, is what was the inspiration for the book? Like, where did it stem from? How long have you been thinking about this? How long did it take to write? Like, what was, you know, like, ground zero?
Yeah, honestly, I have been writing, like, this particular story since I was a teenager, like, since I was, like, 16, but it never really worked before. I didn't have, like, first of all, a lot of the book, like when you look deeper into it, it's about Calla's growth and her identity and how she comes to kind of like terms with that. And when I was a teen, I had not finished growing myself. So like it wasn't until my frontal lobe was like fully developed that like things kind of started like clicking for the story. And it was actually in COVID when we were locked down. My partner and I are like huge board game people. Dungeons and Dragons, just like board games, like all the way to like Clue, Monopoly. And that's kind of what happened. We were like playing Monopoly specifically, and he's a menace. I've seriously never beat him in Monopoly, and I would say I win like 90% of games I play with him, so it's really frustrating for me. And he and the worst part is he owned like half of the board. This we were playing virtually with our friends because, you know, we were all on lockdown. I had like kind of given up my writing for a little while. Not like I gave up, but like I just, you know, becoming an adult.
Yeah, you put it on pause.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was just like becoming an adult is hard.
It was a weird time.
Yeah. And so
what are responsibilities?
Truly. Gosh. And I think that's kind of, yeah, like just naturally what happened. And then we were playing this game, and around that time I had started thinking like, oh, what else am I doing with my time? I should get back to writing this book. And that night he again won Monopoly because I rolled a bad roll, like the dice, and I landed on, he like bankrupted me all in one fell swoop. And I was so angry, but like the storyline kind of just clicked finally. I was like, oh, like that's the missing piece, like that's the missing element. Mm-hmm. Because it was always about like fate and changing your fate, but I had never had that like pivotal like thing for Calla. So that's how Witch's Dice was born.
Honestly, that's a really good metaphor, the like bankrupting in one fell swoop, I know. Like one bad roll of the dice. Like, yep. That's just a really good way to describe this story.
Yeah, it was like definitely like serendipitous. I was just like, what the heck? Yeah, and honestly, it just kind of flowed out of me after that. Like, it like finally just had a book. I wrote it in like 2 months. I finished it and went to query, so it was a whirlwind.
That's amazing. Yeah, I guess that goes into a question that I had about working with Disney and just like how that has been. Like, I know a lot of readers out there are really interested in the writing process and how it is to get a book published by a bigger pub. So what was that like? Like, how did that process go? Was it easy? Was it difficult? Did it take a while? Are they great? Is Disney amazing?
Like— Yeah, I know. It's like the Disney entity, right? Everyone always loves to hear about them. Disney has been really great to me. I adore my editor specifically. She worked with me on the first two books of this series, and our time has come to an end for the rest of the series, but I am always grateful that she was my introduction into publishing because she really made this such a good experience, and a lot of people don't have good experiences. Mm-hmm. So I'm really grateful for that, and Disney really took a lot of my input when it came to like the cover. Like, a lot of that was me in the map in pages. I like, you know, like so, and not a lot of publishers let you do that either, so they have been incredible to work with. Journey to pub, I don't tell the story a ton because I don't know if it's like discouraging or helpful at all, but I really didn't have a very hard time, and that is genuinely just luck. A lot of publishing is like right place, right time, chance, privilege, like all of that kind of like goes hand in hand. Mm-hmm. And I got my agent very quickly through a pitch contest, so that kind of snowballed quickly, and then Disney picked it up like first round of submission that we were out on, and genuinely it was right place, right time. I think, yeah. I was like the first book my editor acquired when she was no longer an assistant editor. Like, she was an official editor. I think I was, like, one of the first books she acquired. So she had a lot more...
That's so cool.
Yeah, honestly, though, it's really refreshing to hear somebody say, like, right place, right time, yep. luck, like, you yeah. know. It's not just always, like, oh, I worked hard. Like, you need to do all of this stuff. You know, like, sometimes it really is just...
Yep.
You know, the luck of the die.
No,
the
fate. No, it's so true. And it's like, and I try not to, because my agent always like fusses at me. Like, I try not to take credit for myself. Like, I worked really hard on the front end, but genuinely, sometimes there's just like nothing you can do as the author. And
for sure, yeah.
That's like a hard lesson to learn. And I think control wise, if you're someone who likes control, I know I am, it's kind of like nerve wracking, but mm-hmm. it really is just luck sometimes.
Yeah. So. I think Gideon could learn a lesson from you like that. I feel like
he... What do you mean?
I think Gideon is somebody who loves control, which also leads me to which brother do you prefer, Gideon or Ezra?
We have favorites, but we want to know what yours is.
Okay. I feel like, this could be like three different questions, right? Like, who do I prefer for Calla? Who do I prefer for myself, or who do I prefer writing? Like,
true.
Okay, let's just hit all three. Oh. And you can start on whichever one you want.
Okay, well, I'll say for Calla, I don't think I hide my feelings very well, but things definitely come to a head in book two. Like, we'll definitely learn the direction of that in book two. I know when I included that love triangle that some people hate love triangles. I personally do love them so much. I love angst, but I know that's a very unpopular opinion. And so I was like, I'm going to try to solve it for everybody relatively quickly. I think the most annoying
thing. Oh, that makes me so happy.
Yeah. I think the most annoying things about love triangles genuinely is just that, like, when you know something is really obvious, like, that it feels inevitable or it just lingers way too long. So, like, I wanted to cut both of those issues out. Don't worry. But yeah, so Calla, you'll definitely see in book two. For myself, I would kill Ezra. I would kill that man.
He's too emo.
I know.
I think Ezra would be one of those people, like, we would have like a really great like whirlwind romance, like very passionate. But like, if we ever had any like downtime where we actually had to speak to each other, I would throttle him. So Gideon,
why are you crying right now? Like, I feel like that would be the question every day at some point with him.
Get it together.
God, yeah. And I'm very dramatic. He's very dramatic. Yeah, I don't think that would work. So Gideon probably for myself. But like writing wise, I actually love writing Ezra so much. I think he actually was such a pivotal part of selling the book. He is the character like we worked on most because he really is the catalyst for the story beginning, like Calla's story beginning. And then also like everything that kind of like comes at the end and of book one and things that move forward. Like, he is such a large entity in this book, and I knew I had to get him right because he is not necessarily likable and he does some pretty bad things, but I needed people to be attached to him a certain amount. So writing him was like a very nice exercise. It was really fun.
Yeah, it was really weird. Like, he does do a lot of bad stuff, but then when he talks, when he's in his like feels, you're like, oh, like, okay, I get it.
Yeah, I was gonna say you succeeded because he did a lot of like crazy stuff, but I was like, why do I still love you?
Yeah, you're like, I just wanna wrap you up in a warm blanket and just like give you cookies, like protect you. It's fine, I get it. But also going back to the love triangle thing, Loretta and I were actually talking about this because I notoriously hate love triangles, but there are a few that I can get behind, and I think for me, it's the realisticness of them, and, like, they're, like you said, it's obvious, right? In the ones that I don't really like, it's obvious that there is a clear winner, but in the ones that I enjoy, it's very much realistic in the sense that you get to see the main character with the two options separately outside of them being together all of the time, and seeing the dynamic between this relationship or that relationship, and it makes sense, and you're like, okay, I can see how there is this conflicted emotion between, like, which one do I prefer. And I think that that's why I enjoyed the love triangle in this book so much, because you see Calla with the different boys and you're like, okay, she's like this with this person, she's like this with that person, what's best, what's not, like, where is this going? So it was very refreshing to read something that you were like, okay, I can stand behind that she has conflicted emotions. Like, which one is the obvious choice when clearly everybody is just backstabbing each other all the time. Like, what's going on?
Oh, I appreciate that so much. I'm really glad it comes across like that, because a lot of, I mean, my books, I always say, like, I love fantasy, but they're vehicles for, like, the spectrum of relationships I want to write. Like, I'm interested in character-driven things first and foremost. Mm-hmm. And relationships are so important, and I've had so many different types of relationships being queer. And so, like, definitely, like, the love triangle was very intentional, because I also kind of want to get across that some people are right for you at different points of your life. Mm-hmm. You grow out of people, you grow back into people, people offer you different things, and I think sometimes, especially as a teenager, it's really hard to assess what you not want necessarily, but what you need in a partner. So that was definitely the goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why don't, this isn't something that I initially had thought of, but speaking of being queer and growing up queer and writing that into your book, what was that like, and what can readers see or hope to see from reading all of these different relationships? Because I know in book one there is another kind of love triangle with, like, Gideon and Kestrel and all of that, and so I also thought that that was very refreshing, and it's also a vehicle to some of the drama and angst, so we can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know what's so funny is some people really hate it. Like, people have tagged me and things, they're like, why are there, like, four love triangles here? But it's funny, because I don't actually consider Gideon and Kestrel and Calla a love triangle necessarily. I think it's very much a lesson of, I have dated other bi people who have had, like, relationships with people who are the same, have the same identity as them, like other men who have dated other men, and the dynamic is all very different. And also, Gideon and Kestrel are true exes. Kestrel doesn't want that to be the situation. But I think Gideon is very, very clear. Like, we're not mm-hmm. together, and I didn't even realize that you still thought we were together, right? And so, like, yeah. I knew people would probably see that in a love triangle. Like, when you boil things down, I think it's easy to boil relationships down and describe books in archetypes of relationships. Yeah. And I totally get that. But I really saw it as a way to kind of introduce this sort of relationship that was a little bit different. Like, you have someone who has unrequited love on one side, right? But then you have the person in the middle of those two different kinds of relationships who has closed the door, even though that other person hasn't, and is starting something new with somebody else. And I think it's okay to, like, every single person in that shape, Calla, Gideon, and Kestrel, all think about each other vastly differently, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Kestrel thinks of Calla as his direct competition. Calla is not thinking about that man at all. Like,
yeah. Calla's like, I don't She's got time bigger for problems. You.
She has so many bigger problems.
She's like, I'm gonna be the start of the end of the world, boy. Like, we don't need you here.
No, truly. Yeah, so I think that was kind of my goal, right? Like, and showing, you know, even, like, Hannah and Delphine's relationship. Like, a lot of people call the relationship between Alex, who is sort of Delphine's situationship, and then with Hannah, like, that love triangle. But I think it's so funny, because I think every single character in that, those three, have different ideas of their relationships with each other. Delphine has no idea Hannah is in love with her. Zero.
Yeah.
She's mm-hmm. she's in her own world. So it's hard for me to say, like, that's a love triangle, because for me, sapphic relationships growing up, falling in love with my best friends who had no idea I was in love with them. Like, I think that's a relatively universal experience with other mm-hmm. sapphic people. I've talked to a lot of my friends who had similar experiences growing up, you know? So I kind of want to show that aspect as well.
Yeah. That's actually really interesting, because the love in the storyline across all of the different people, like you said, is just everybody is seeing it through their own lens, and we mm-hmm. just so happen to get to see all of it. And so it just, like, love stinks. Like, he loves her, but she loves somebody else, and he loves this
she's guy. The man, all the lines.
Yeah! And this is all over the place.
Yep.
Exactly. She's the man. Yeah, that's a good example. Good to really tie in. Okay, so then I also have a question about which character is your favorite, and I guess that also can be tiered into, like, who you enjoyed writing the most, who was the hardest to write, maybe, and then just in general, who you would want to be friends with.
Okay, I think I enjoy writing, just naturally, like, Calla the most, slash Delphine. I usually answer that Delphine's my favorite. I want to be her so bad. I'm not that kind of person, but I really wish I was. I think she is so freaking cool, and I would definitely love to be, like, best friends with her, but I think Calla is just naturally, like, she's my pivotal character. Calla and I don't think our personalities are very similar necessarily. I would definitely not make half the decisions she makes. Honestly, I wouldn't have gone into that forest at all, so let's start with that. Ezra would have been dead at that poker table. I think it's just, I gave so much of my own personal growth to her that it was very cathartic to write her. I love her so much. I'm very protective of her. So, yeah, those are probably my two favorites. I think the hardest person to write is, honestly, I think Hannah and her arc is not necessarily an easy one. We don't get to see a ton of her background in book one. Each book, we get a little bit more on different characters. And Hannah has a lot of trauma, so it's like unpacking that, and also her remaining a very sweet person. Like, that's a very hard type of person to write, because I am not that kind of person at all. I would be so jaded and hardened. But Hannah has really remained very, like, sweet. She's a cinnamon roll. So figuring out her character was very interesting.
We have to talk about the ending too. Like, I feel like talking about the sweetness of Hannah and then just, like, the fact that you don't relate to her and we have the ending that we do, and I'm just like, yeah, like, it's a full circle, like, sweet Hannah and then not sweet ending. Like, was it always meant to be that ending? Like, do you have everything kind of plotted out already of, like, where things are going, or was it kind of like you're writing these characters and their journeys and there may be changes, like, maybe they decide that they're not gonna be on the path that you originally thought, like, where are we going?
So this I have known the ending of the books since I started writing them, and they haven't changed. Book one ending was always meant to be that way. I have to say, okay, I get messages every day, and I wish that was an exaggeration. It is genuinely not. I get a DM, like, every day about how dare I.
Hannah would never give us an ending.
People are so angry at me, and they're also, like, it's not even just that they didn't see it coming, which a lot of people tell me that, but they're also like, I didn't even necessarily like some of these characters, and yet here I am, like, crying about it, which makes me feel very good. But yeah,
I love it.
You cried? Great. I'm adding a check to my list.
I feel like that's the author mantra, right? Like,
yeah.
But yeah, book two also ended exactly how I planned. However, I have to say, book two took me on a ride. I rewrote 85,000 words before my edits were due. Like, basically,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, basically rewrote an entire storyline in the book, because there's, like, three separate storylines in book two. And it's because my characters, like, we were in developmental edits, and my editor didn't even suggest this. I was just doing edits, and I was just, some of my characters were just resisting hardcore. They were just like, nope, I would be doing all of these other things, and I was like, okay, dang it, well, back to the drawing board. But I always knew, I have to know the place it's going, and when you are writing a series, it's a domino effect, and if book two didn't have the ending that was planned, book three wouldn't be able to be written as planned, and the ending of book three is just unchangeable, pretty much, in my eyes. It's always where it was going, especially the sort of, like, fate. I joke all the time, like, Calla hates the fates and stuff so much, but I'm basically, like, the one doing this to them. That's sort of, like, my position. I always say my self-insert is the witch eater. Like, for sure.
I love that. Yeah.
So it's just funny. It's definitely, it's just always where the story was going to go, how it's going to end, no matter what. But they definitely, in between, like, getting point A to point B, they surprised me a lot. But book one was smooth sailing. Book two, I literally was like, I'm never writing another book ever again. what they say about sequels is so true.
I was going to say, I've heard that a lot of the authors are always like, book two is always the hardest.
It's really bad, actually. I don't even lie about it. I wrote an article for a blog about, like, surviving a sequel, and everything I say stands, but it's just one of those things that, like, you just, until you're in it, like, you don't really believe people, like, oh, like, I've had an outline, like, it's fine, everything's good, but it is not fine, nothing is fine.
Okay, I think that is a really good segue into the questions that we have for book two, because, like, we have been discussing this for the longest time.
I know.
But I do have a few personal, like, questions about you specifically as a person in the real world that I think also can relate back to where you find inspiration for your stories and, like, what you were listening to that people might, like, want to listen to get into the mood. But I really want to know, like, who your favorite authors are. Like, where do you draw, like, writing inspo from? Any, like, tonal, you know, kind of guides that you work on? But I'm interested in, like, is there a little bit of, like, I don't know, Tolkien in this story or whatever it might be?
Okay, so my favorite author currently is Margaret Rogerson. Sorcery of Thorns is probably, like, tied my favorite.
I love that book.
Tied so with good. Howl's Moving Castle is my favorite book. Diana Wynne Jones, like, Howl's Moving Castle specifically, was a huge inspo to me. I love the idea of world building that has very loose magic rules and stuff like that. I like the idea that anything's possible. So a lot of that kind of makes its way into my work. With this series specifically, I like to keep people on their toes. Growing up, though, the person who made me want to be an author, just super honestly, was Cassandra Clare. She she probably the reason I write in third
you're talking
person,
to the right people. Yeah. Yeah.
Probably the reason I write in third person, and also Tessa Will and Jim Stan I Stand By is probably the best love triangle I've ever read.
we can chat about this later.
But yeah, I think she was such a major influence on me, and I don't really have too much time to read these days as I used to, but I found her books in middle school. I was like 13, I think, when I read City of Bones, and, you know, it's interesting to see, like, how things change, like, the older I get, and what I kind of go back to, but I think that was, like, a very early inspo, so.
Yeah. I love, as you can see, I love Cassie Clare, I love Shadowhunters. But, like, we had the same trajectory of, like, finding City of Bones and just, like, falling in love with that kind of magical world.
And growing up with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will say, again, hot take, no one come after me, I do think that your love triangle is a lot better than Will, Tessa, and Jim. I'm not a fan. That's like my one, like, hill I will die on, and I know people will get so mad at me for saying that, but, like, it's,
don't,
like,
get dead started.
The one love triangle that I can't do it. There was one obviously clear winner, and I was like, you're second string, guy. Like, come on.
I actually think that's so funny. But that's a huge compliment for sure. It's definitely, like, the emotional part, right? Like, regardless of, like, the winner aspect, I think it's, like, the emotional investment from each character, which is what I wanted to bring into my own. Because you have, like, Gideon and Ezra are literal brothers, but they have a very broken relationship. But there's, you know, so there's, like, emotional stakes on everyone's end. Yeah. So, yeah, it was definitely, like, that's kind of where things started. It's, man, that old YA always just gets me. Like, the nostalgia.
Yeah. We can bring you back on a Shadowhunter episode, and we can just, like, talk about all of Cassandra Clare's stories. If you're ever back in LA, I could take you on the Shadowhunter tour for where the Institute is. Like, I've done all that.
Oh, that's fun.
I digress. Yes. I digress. And I know, okay, I'll save some of these questions for later on in our game, because I feel like they relate. So we can jump into book two questions, but I'll let Loretta jump in, because I feel like since she's the one who brought me in, she can start asking the real questions.
I'm so excited. Of course, I want to ask all the questions about, like, the ending of book one, but I don't want to give it away. But, yeah. I'm really interested in, like, the Four Queens and the lore there, so I want to know if we get more of that in book two.
Yeah, so we definitely start getting some insight of, like, what kind of went on with the queens to get them to where they are now and their deal with the Fates. We're getting bits and pieces, right? I hate qualifying anything for book two, because I feel like naturally, like, the imposter syndrome really gets to me with book two, because it was so hard for me to write. But book one, right, is such a huge catalyst. I feel like a lot of intros to series are like, go, 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 action. And then book two is a lot of, like, emotional stakes and, like, kind of reeling from the ending of book one and what we're doing. And we have three different storylines. We have the Sirens, the Witches, and the Valkyries. And
that's so exciting. I've never, like, the storylines following each of the different species or peoples instead of just, like, the individual characters. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, and they all kind of have, like, ebbs and flows together, and, like, kind of, like, almost touch each other and, like, go away and things like that, which is really fun, and that kind of carries on to book three as well. But we get some hints from, like, all sides about, like, what's really going on, and there's some, like, really exciting moments on that front. But I will say, I think a lot of the behind the scenes factors are really going to come to light in the last book, which is book three. And so we're really going to get all of our answers and kind of, like, fully explore how we got to this war and everything. But there's definitely some things to look forward to with them in book two.
I'm excited. When you say that the motives and all of, like, the main, you know, like, comes to a head in book three, for book two, do we at least get some more background and history and knowledge on, like, the main crew? Like, I know we're waiting to figure out, like, what happened with Hannah, what happened with Delphine, like, Caspian is just over here, like, chilling, having a good time, and nobody really knows anything about him right now. I am obsessed with him.
How did you get here, bro?
Yeah, kind of there, like, we're in the evil forest, cool, let's do it, like, let's have some fun. Like, do we get some, like, updates on where they came from and how they got here?
We learn so much about Delphine. Huge amount. Yes. Each book I kind of want to, it's such a big crew, and I totally understand that. And I know so many people are like, I want to know more about everybody, but it's so hard to do when you have, like, a very limited amount of words. But Delphine, we learn a ton about, and Amina, we learn a lot about too. Yes. And then Hannah and Caspian, who have probably one of my favorite relationships in book two. We really get a lot more on them in book three. So, like, each book kind of focuses on, like, a little bit of, like, new people. But we also get some background in book two about Calla and some of a little bit of her history before she met Hannah and Delphine, which was really, really fun to write. That actually sequence of learning about Calla was, like, the entire scene was probably my favorite part to write in this book. And the one that she really, like, dragged me headfirst into. So that one's really fun. But we do learn a lot about Delphine. She has her very own storyline for reasons I will not reveal to everybody. But, yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I am too.
Like, yes.
Are there any new characters that we can look forward to meeting?
Yes. Oh my gosh, I'm literally so excited. So when Amina, obviously, things happen at the end of book one that lead us to be able to kind of like learn a little bit more about her going forward. And Amina has two best friends. I love trios. I'm a girl's girl. But yeah. Amina has two best friends named Lyra and Sabine. Lyra is a non-binary, like Valkyrie, and they are just, they're very rich. They're like the, I always call them like, that would be like the party house in college, like the friend's house you always go to, because yeah. their fridge is actually stocked. So Sabine and Amina are always hanging out at like Lyra's place. Lyra is like a collector. They're a hunter. So they have all these really cool, like magical trinkets that they've collected, from all over the land in this world, which will kind of come into play, but they're really fun. And then Sabine is a menace to society.
That means I'll love her.
Yeah.
Sabine is a trans woman, and she has like some of the coolest lore I personally have ever come up with. She is so much fun. Her favorite pastime is maiming people and like not even.
Yeah, I'm already in love. I'm already obsessed.
It's gonna be great. I always say like Sabine and Delphine would get along so well, and the only difference between them is Delphine wouldn't necessarily immediately kill somebody because she wouldn't want to get blood on her outfit, but before you've even like had the chance to like say anything, your heart is out of your chest. Like Sabine has taken it, like she's like, oh wait, were we not supposed to kill them yet? I love her so much.
Oh my god, I'm so excited.
Also, like Sabine has ADHD for sure. So yeah, it's just so funny seeing those two things work in tandem, like murderous tendencies and ADHD.
Yeah, and they're like, wait, how did we get here?
Yeah,
like what's going on? Oh, I'm so excited for more Valkyrie. And please let me know if you cannot confirm or deny, but I feel like Amina knows more than we think she does, just because obviously she is only in a select part of book one, but I feel like things happen the way they do because she has some type of knowledge that we're not aware of. Like, I think that she is on to something. Like, things happen purposely because she's just gonna be like a badass and be like, yeah guys, I'm helping. I don't know.
We will actually touch on that point specifically in book two. So,
okay.
Yeah, we'll learn a little bit about what was going on in that forest before the crew arrived.
Yes.
Okay, and then if there's going to be like a hierarchy of what happens most, like in book two, are we getting like blood, romance, drama,
heartbreak,
like what, on a scale, like where are we at with all of the main things?
I do think there's more blood, I'm pretty sure.
I think everyone is here for more blood. Yeah. Especially with the Valkyrie trio. Like,
if Sabine is around.
Yeah.
Definitely more blood from a few different places. There is more romance. What I consider to be more romantic things. And I will say there is kissing. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yay for kissing.
I won't say with who, but yeah. We definitely get some more of that going on. I think action wise, it's just there's so many puzzle pieces here, right? Because there's a lot going on, but everyone each kind of has like their own goal and what they're doing, and things get sidetracked and things get chaotic as usual because that's the brand of this crew. But I'm really excited to see like where people like where things fall, because I know a lot of people are here for the romance, and so am I, so I get it.
Yeah, I do. I will say, at least from my perspective, being like an adult woman, I do like that the romance and the adventure kind of happen side by side and equally, and there's mm-hmm. not, like, the main focus is not just who's gonna end up with who, and the main focus is not just the adventure. It kind of just all happens chaotically at the same time, per the brand, like, the Chaos Crew. Like, it kind of just naturally falls in there. Like, yeah, we almost just died because we got caught in this net, but, like, let's kiss each other and make up, just, you know, because we almost died. I don't know.
Oh, no, it's Gideon throwing out those innuendos at the most inconvenient time. Which is like, I think
love it.
He gets a little stressed and then he gets a little sassy. Yeah, I mean, it's like truly romanticy, which was my goal. So I'm really glad that people like that aspect. And it's the exact same thing in book two. Like, there's... It's really a vehicle for, like, all of the lore and the action at the same time as, like, Calla's relationship. Like, and they just immediately go hand in hand with the nature of the quest that they're on in book two, which I will not spoil, but...
I'm so excited. Speaking of, this is completely, well, kind of related, but just, like, on a personal writing level, like, have you ever thought about writing adult romanticy? Like, is that in... the pipeline at all? Like, because I'd be down. Like, I'd read it all, and I probably would be obsessed.
I have secrets that I can't
announce. Well, whenever you're ready to share those secrets, Loretta and I are here to help with the secrets.
We'll support, yeah.
We'll talk after this.
Yeah. We're ready.
But, yeah, actually, I mean, like, I am definitely one of those, like, I always want to have my hand in YA. YA saved my life when I was a teen, so, like, I'm never going to get out of it. But, like, I'm an adult, too. I love romance, and one thing I won't do is ever cross the boundary of certain content in YA, but, like, obviously, I love reading it, and I want to write it, so There are things in the works.
We'll be circling back. We'll be checking. Yeah. We'll be checking in. Like, hey, what's going on? good to know. Good to know. Also, speaking of secrets, are you able to share any teaser quotes from book two? Is there any, like, one-liners we can have? Like, anything in particular? If not, it's okay. If yes, we're here. We're listening intently.
One of my favorite, I almost feel like it's a quieter moment, but one of my favorite moments is a character says two words in conjunction, and the words are anywhere, period, everywhere, period. And it's...
I'm already swooning.
I know.
And it's one of my favorite, like, little moments. And it's very quiet, and it's sort of folded in to the book. But every time I read it, I just giggle. Yeah, I love,
like,
it.
Oh, I'm excited.
I love that.
Not being like, yes, when does this happen? I'm so excited. All right, Loretta, you want to ask the most important question?
Is it time for our end segment?
Well, we have one more question. I was going to say, do you want to ask the important one?
Well, we wanted to know if we could have some arcs, because we need this book as soon as possible.
I will personally send any email I need to. Like, who do I need to address?
Who do we need to contact?
I think I can arrange for two arcs to be sent as soon as they get to me.
we're so excited.
We're a little behind on printing right now. The book comes out in January, and usually I would have my arcs already. But again, refer back to when I rewrote the entirety of book two. So Disney was like, okay, those were choices. But yeah, we should go out to print soon. And when I have arcs, probably sometime this summer, I have two with your names on them.
Yes.
I was complaining to Deb. I read it as soon as you sent it to me. And then I was like, why did I do that? I have to wait. I have to wait longer.
The worst part about being an author is definitely, like, all the arcs we get, which seems, like, so amazing until you realize that, like, you will not be getting those sequels for, like, double the time.
I know.
And that is a feat in and of itself for Loretta, too, because she's notorious for, like, not finishing series. So the fact that she's like, I'm ready for book two, like, I need it, like, that's a big deal for her.
No offense to any of the authors. I just, like, I just lose focus, and I don't know.
I don't know what's wrong with me. Reading is hard these days.
Also, one thing that I had written in here that I haven't gotten to say, but if there is any way that we can get this as, like, a Amazon Prime series or, like, some type of fantasy series on one of the streaming services, let me know what I gotta do, because I feel like this on screen would be so amazing. Like, I just want it.
The chaos come to life.
That's definitely a dream for sure. And I mean, Disney, come on. Who do I have to email?
Disney, do we get another Disney Plus series? Like, I'm here for this.
I know.
We'll start a petition.
That would be so funny. I accidentally, like, email it over to them anonymously. Like, oh, I don't
know. What's a fan base? So crazy.
I just happened to stumble upon this online. Like, who would have thought? But I'm here for it. I will start sending out some DMs being like, make this a show. Okay, Loretta, now we can jump in.
For our ending segment, we just wanted to go through each character and sort of talk about, like, what we think they would be doing in modern real day life and, like, what they would be listening to or watching. And we just have some thoughts on each one. So I don't know. We started with Calla, and of course, Calla's the one I had the hardest time with for some reason. I could not think of some. I don't know.
Yeah.
are we doing, like, fave song or artist, like, TV is...
Yeah, like just, okay. You know.
Any,
like,
and all the above.
Okay. It's so funny, because I actually have thought about this several times. First of all, I think Calla's song would be, like, Cruel Summer by Taylor Swift, if I'm honest.
That's a good one.
I love that. Yeah.
I feel like she'd love to, like, if she was in modern day world, she'd be screaming about Ezra in her car, just...
I could just picture them all in, like, a minivan, and she's the driver, and, like, Gideon is next to her, like, just stoically staring out the window, pretending like he's not listening, and then Ezra's in the back, like, tear running down his face, like, and then she's, like, screaming that bridge, like, he looks up,
like, Ezra knows that's about Gideon, too, so... she's probably in that kind of state, but I don't think she would watch TV, to be totally honest. I think she would be like a rom-com movie girl. Like, I think she would always have like a movie going. That's the kind of person I am too. I genuinely never watch TV. Mostly because I'm on 3 deadlines right now, so yeah. But I always have, like, a rom, like, 13 going on 30, it stays.
I literally just watched that the other night.
So good,
a classic,
and I cry every damn time, like, it never fails. So yeah, I think she'd be that kind of girl. And I think as far as, like, hobbies go, she's definitely would be a board game person. I think she would also be a fantasy reader. I think she'd be big into fantasy books. Like, anything escapism.
Yeah. And she's the one collecting all of the swords that you get on Etsy. Like, she's a sword collector.
I can see her being hecka competitive over board games. Oh, yeah. Like, getting into fights and stuff.
Her and Ezra playing, like, Dungeons and Dragons together. Oof.
Oh, my God.
So boards would be flipped. Oh, yeah.
For sure. Drama between their characters, Uno? Too, or something.
Uno? Oh,
I'm a big Sorry player. Like, me and my family play Sorry, and I am, like, the queen of Sorry, and I can just imagine Calla being the person who's like, you don't want to do that. Don't, you should sorry this person and say, oh, that's the decision you're making? Okay. Yeah. And then everybody is, like, rioting against her and she still ends up winning. Like, that's what I envision.
No, quite literally. Yeah. I agree. Like, she would absolutely be talking smack the entire time. But she'd also be so upset when things didn't go her way.
You sorried me out of all of us?
No, it would be looking at Gideon like, I can't believe you just did that. Like, that would, I guilt my partner all the time. Like, if we're playing board games, I'd be like, I cannot believe you would do that to me. And then turn around and do it to him.
I'm mad at you now.
Yeah. We love toxic relationships.
For Delphine, I was like, she's listening to some like female punk rock. She's rocking out to some like Hole or some Avril Lavigne or Joan Jett or something.
Yeah,
I can see it.
I see that too. I think she'd love to scream anything with like a female led band. I always say like Paramore or like yes. or the very opposite yeah. when she's like getting ready. It's like full Beyonce. Like,
yeah, I can see that.
She just has like the girl power playlist.
Yeah,
going.
Yeah, for sure. I think she would love reality TV so much. I always say like,
ooh, I can see that mm-hmm. too.
I think Delphine would be like a Love Island girly.
Yeah. And then Hannah is like, I don't really like this, but I'm gonna watch it because
I
want to
know. I'm gonna
what
watch
you
it
like.
For Hannah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. Hannah is all like K dramas and anime. Like I
that's
feel
what
like
I was thinking too. I said she's a Swiftie.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Hannah would be such a Swiftie. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Hardcore.
Ivy. That would be her song.
I honestly feel like they all would be Swifties, but some of them more secretive than others.
Different eras.
They would have like their one song that they're listening to, and then when somebody comes in, they're like, what are you listening to? And they're like, nothing. Like, what?
Ezra's like an Evermore boy, but like he just won't ever admit it. Like, you know?
Yeah.
For Gideon, I was like, why do I feel like he's secretly listening to One Direction or something, which are pretty much like the same thing.
I feel like Caspian would be listening to One Direction first.
Oh, yeah.
And then get Gideon into One Direction.
Caspian would have no shame, and he would listen to it outright, and Gideon would be like, this is kind of good.
Yeah, Caspian's like full pop all the time. Gideon, actually, I always think of him as like, he's not one that seeks out media, but like if the radio was on and it sounds good, he'll leave it on.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so like pop stations, he's like, this doesn't sound bad, so like I'll totally listen to it. I also don't see him watching any sort of TV, like ever.
No, me
neither. Yeah. Like, he's just sitting around reading The Art of War and being like, I need to...
Literally, yeah. He would be. He's that guy. He's like, I'm into the classic, but not the toxic ones. Like, he's not telling you his favorite book is Catcher in the Rye, but like, I think he's definitely. I think he's listening. I think he's reading like Frankenstein, Jane Austen. Like, he's a little pretentious, to be honest.
But you still love him, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also like, think. Wow, you read.
Right. He's on that Instagram account, like hot guys reading books or whatever.
Oh my god, he would be.
And it's the guy who's like dressed up in a suit, and then he has his book and his hair is all made up, knowing full well that you're taking a picture of him.
Yeah.
But pretending that he doesn't know.
What's that Instagram account? It's like hot guys reading on the subway.
Yeah. No, exactly. He would too. He would be on the subway. I feel like Calla would be like, let's get an Uber, and Gideon's like, I'm not paying for an Uber. Yeah.
Like, it's only 5 blocks. We can walk for 30 minutes.
Yeah. And he's literally richer than her. Like, he's just one of those people.
She's like, it's fine, I'll pay for it.
I think it's funny. Ezra and Caspian, though, I think would have actually very similar tastes. I think they would both love Stranger Things. Like TV show.
Yes. Yeah.
I get, but like for different reasons. Like I feel like Ezra's there for like the sci-fi aspect, like the weird aspect, and I
the
think,
drama.
Yeah. And Caspian's
there. Caspian is there for dad. Yeah.
Yes. Literally. Caspian's there
love
for the
that.
Kids.
He's watching it. He's like, see, this is me with all of you. Yeah. I'm Steve, and you are the kid. Yeah. I take care of you.
Pretty much, exactly.
He's like, where's my baseball bat?
That's so funny. Yeah, Ezra would also be, like, I think really into poker, like, a little too into poker, and, like, PC gaming. Like, he's that boyfriend.
Yeah.
Which, again, is, I feel like, yeah, we would just not get along. Like...
Ezra's sitting in a dark room on his computer, and the only light you see is from his screen.
Screen, yeah. Like, quite literally.
Listening to Evermore.
Yeah. Screaming into his mic, I'm carrying all of you. Get it together.
That would be him.
That would totally be him.
Yeah. And it's, like, only attractive sometimes. Like, it's, like, very specific points where I'm like, oh, like, this is fun. Like, you're a team player, and then... they start screaming. It's like, oh, never mind.
You're one of those. But then he would pay for the subway. He would pay for the Uber, and he'd be like, you know what? Get in. Yeah.
No, spend my money on you. He would, well, because he's just as prissy as, like, ever, like the girls are. Like, him and Delphine, like, they're at each other's throats, but they're very similar creatures. Uh-huh. Like, yeah. As, he also doesn't want his hair to be ruined, or, like, he also doesn't want to walk or ride the subway, like.
Priorities.
Yeah.
He's the TikTok trend where it's, like, 3 months after watching Stranger Things and his hair is all poopy and like 1 month,
2 months.
He like changes his whole hairstyle to look like Steve's.
No, literally. He's such a brat.
I didn't know what to write for Kestrel, but I said, if this man were a song, he'd be, this is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah, I was gonna say, he is like the epitome of, I don't like to have fun. Like, I sit at home and I stare out the window.
He's watching, like, the most niche, boring documentaries I can possibly think of. Or, like, I think he's, like, a lo-fi music guy. I love lo-fi music, but I think it's, like, the time, like, for sure.
He listens to nothing else.
Right, like.
He's, like, that guy that's, like, I can't listen to this anymore because it's too mainstream. And you're, like, okay.
Yeah. So pretentious. Also, I think he's, like, an art collector guy, like, that's
oh yeah.
Like, you like Jeff Koontz or like, you know what I mean? Like, he's one of those.
Why is that so him? Oh my god, I love it.
Yeah, I feel like Amina is. I think she is a.
Like, I didn't know what to put for her because we don't see a whole lot of her yet.
I know.
I'm so excited to, like, get more of her later.
I think she's a little bit of, like, a Buffy the Vampire Slayer, maybe some Game of Thrones. Like, I think she likes
Buffy.
Anything. Yeah, like, anything with women being, like, badass, like, she's really into. I think her hobby, like, I actually think she'd be a really good gardener a little. Like, I think she would, like, get her frustrations out by, like, taking care,
like weeding,
yeah, like exactly, like, like I think she'd be really good at that. I also think she would love thrifting. I think like her and Lyra would like love to thrift together, and Sabine would just be in like in the back, like pulling things out everywhere. And like, okay, that's why we can't take you places.
They turn around and she's just causing chaos.
Yeah.
She has like 3 hats on, a new pair of jeans. You're like, where did you get all of that?
Yep. Exactly. Just
I'm so excited for this trio. Like,
me too.
They're gonna be the new thing. Like, forget about Gideon and Ezra. Like, it's all about the Valkyrie now.
They're so fun too because I mean they have wings, so like that's a really like fun aspect of it too. Also, like Valkyries, they're very spooky because they their magic abilities and stuff are really fun to explore because they have some really spooky abilities, so it's fun.
I'm so excited.
I can't wait.
I'm excited for the maiming. I'm excited for the flying.
Me too.
I'm excited for the magic.
The blood, the romance.
Yeah. all of it together.
But yeah, I think book 2 will be a lot of fun for everyone who really wants to get to know like everyone's personalities a little more. So excited to put that out. I'm excited that other people are excited too. So
yeah, we're so excited. And we're excited to share our love with everybody who does listen and all of our own individual followers. And we're excited to share it with everybody. But unless anyone has any final comments on Arunis Faye or anything else, we just wanted to say thank you again for joining us.
Yes, thank you so much for being here.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, if you actually, because you mentioned the article that you wrote for sequels, if you want to send that to us, we can actually link it out in our episode notes so that way people can actually read it. And if everybody wants to follow Kaylee on social, do you want to, I think it's at Kale's Moon, but
it is,
if
yes.
That's not correct, we'll also add it to the notes. Everyone go follow Kaylee. And yeah, we're excited to have you back after book 2 comes out. If you have time, you can come on and we can talk about where we are after book 2. But yeah, we hope everybody has a great day and has some main character energy.
Main character energy.
Yay!